Now, the second of our commentaries on one of the nation's oldest laws, the Alien Tort Claims Act. Next month, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case that was brought under the act, Sosa versus Alvarez Machain. Yesterday on this program, an attorney who's used the act to bring civil lawsuits argued that it's an important tool for defending victims of international human rights abuses. Today, the view that the Alien Tort Claims Act has been used for too many purposes. Commentator Paul Rosenzweig says the law must be clarified by the Supreme Court.
Imagine if tomorrow the United States were to locate Osama bin Laden in a small town in Pakistan. Could U.S. troops swoop down and capture him? Of course they could, if Pakistan consented. But what if Pakistan did not consent? Or if we found bin Laden in some country like Iran that would probably object to U.S. intervention? The possibility certainly raises delicate questions of international law and relations. But it also, surprisingly, raises a question of American law that will be addressed by the Supreme Court in Sosa versus Alvarez Machain. Earlier, the Ninth Circuit in California had issued an opinion which some read to suggest that bin Laden could actually sue his military captors in U.S. courts and get paid money damages. At the heart of the issue lies the Alien Tort Claims Act, a law passed by the very first Congress in 1789. The statute says that U.S. courts have jurisdiction to hear suits by foreigners, called aliens, if they allege an injury that occurred because of a violation of the law of nations. Though the origin of this provision is not 100% clear, my best understanding is that it was intended to allow foreign citizens to sue to recover property seized by pirates when the pirates attempted to dispose of their stolen booty in American ports. In recent years, however, the statute has mutated. In 1980, a federal court held that the Alien Tort Claims Act also allows aliens to sue if they are injured in violation of international law through, for example, torture. This development initially arose in the context of aliens seeking to use the U.S. courts to secure judgments against foreign dictators, people like Ferdinand Marcos or Robert Mugabe. In the last decade, the law has added an additional twist. Using traditional ideas of tort liability, human rights plaintiffs have brought suits against American businesses like ExxonMobil and Coca-Cola, under the theory that their actions in foreign countries supported the human rights abuses of the dictators with whom they were doing business. Some see this as a good development. But as a consequence, the government has had to offer financial protections to companies that are helping to rebuild Iraq because they're afraid of being sued. And then, another twist. Whatever you think about suits against American companies, the same principle allows suits against individuals. And so the Ninth Circuit has allowed a Mexican doctor to sue bounty hunters hired by the Drug Enforcement Agency. The DEA sought the abduction of the doctor, without Mexico's consent, to answer an indictment that he had participated in the torture and killing of a DEA agent. The doctor was acquitted of the charge, and now says that his abduction violated international law. But the legality or illegality of a transborder arrest is independent of the doctor's acquittal. He would have a suit even if he'd been convicted, since his complaint is about the process by which he was brought to the United States and not the end result. And if he has the basis for a tort suit, then will Osama bin Laden? We've come a long way from piracy on the high seas, and it's high time that the High Court clarified this highly unusual law.
Paul Rosenzweig is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation.